Comp doesn't have to mean a first place trophy or getting to a certain weight or getting to a certain body fat percentage. It can be literally setting yourself up just for a goal and a target to keep yourself disciplined and showing to yourself and proving to yourself that you can actually do those things that you set before yourself. Mm-hmm. Because not a lot of people have the time or the money to do all these outside dreams and goals in the present moment. But I learned through disciplining myself, through competing, that if you set to a task, you will eventually accomplish it. And that might take you 2 or 3 or 4 years, but consistently getting better and refining your skills or refining your art, your craft, you will eventually get there.
Hey guys, welcome back to the Bro and a Pro podcast, where we hope to help you reach your full potential, whether that be inside or outside the gym. I am your main host, Jeremy So, and today we have the one and only, I would say, I used to remember him as being the Roly Winkler, Chris Parvey from 24/7 Culture Fitness Wanneroo. Welcome.
Jeremy, that's a introduction that I haven't had before. It's the Roly Winkler. Roly Winkler. Right. It's a thing of my past. My 20 inch arms, they're slowly coming back now. Getting back into training after a long overdue time off. It's different, obviously, owning your own gym. You think that you'll be in the gym every single day, which you are, but you're in the gym working, not hustling for muscle, which I obviously used to do. We met in the in my old humble grounds of Midland Power Fitness, I think it was.
Oh, yes, it was. Power Fitness.
Which life was a little bit different then. Now, obviously, it's changed with obviously owning a gym versus working in a gym. So, yeah.
And, that's a huge thing. Like, we literally, I recall, because I remember seeing your photos. I'll try to get it up for you guys on one of the stories. But, like, were you just hitting that, like, is it the most muscular shot? And it was just like, I was like, this guy looks like Roly Winkler. Yeah. And I don't think anyone, has no one ever said that you had a resemblance to Roly Winkler? Really?
Potentially, yeah. I mean, I looked up to Kevin Lavroni a lot.
Yeah.
Idolized him just for that classical, like, big physique, but nothing too, you know, disproportionate, you know, still very athletic. And I'm like, if I could do this, if I could like pull off an athletic look but still be big, this would be cool. Roly was awesome, but yeah. Just who's ever gonna have his arms? It's just ridiculous, you know.
If he kept going on that trend, I think he could have been there. But
yeah, that's the thing of the past, and it's I'm not gonna ignore the whole bodybuilding side. I'd love to come back. I haven't announced it yet, but we'll string together a few more months and see where the body goes. It's a lot different in your 30s than it is in your 20s.
And you know, you could say that we're probably, you myself included, we're probably like skinny fat. You're eating like 1 meal a day or 2 meals a day at best. Yeah. And not really training it as often.
It's,
so
it's a hard reality, you know, like you, and you understand this for yourself, but you get so involved and so passionate about the industry, and you care about either your members or your clients for yourself, and you put all your time and energy, what you used to invest into yourself, into them. The unfortunate side, there's nothing left on the end of the day to really extract for your own purposeful good of building muscle or dieting for a show. The fortunate side now, and obviously we'll go into this a bit later, but I've kind of found that, you know, that real good spot in business to still give yourself that time, because now going through it, and I'm only 2 weeks in, but you can really see the benefits of, as I think we spoke about it the other day, but like emptying your cup to make sure there's actually some reserve for yourself. Yeah. Make sure it's not always full with, you know, things that you're passionate about, which is great, but your clients and your members, you do need to put them to a side for that hour or 2 hours every day to really humble into your own self-worth, you know?
Yeah, and I think it's, you know, a lot of times it's almost like, you have an all-in kind of attitude. So I think, you know, when you do something, you're passionate about it, this is what you want to do. You know, like back then it was bodybuilding. Like I was all in with bodybuilding. Like I didn't care about anything else. That's all I wanted to do. And then when I found my true calling, my passion, I decided to go a different route. And sometimes we got to put the goals on the back seat, the goals that you want, maybe just in the back seat. Like, we're not completely cutting it out for good.
Yeah.
I feel like you never told me that, you know, in the past, you're never not going to jump back on stage. I feel like that drive will be there, but the timing has to be right. And I think timing's so important.
100%. Which kind of goes into, you know, like the whole journey into this industry was, it was really easy, you know, like it was a real humble starting. Like, I mean, I got into the gym when I was 18, so
yeah,
it was kind of very young back then. I'm going back to, 2007. For an 18-year-old walking into a gym, I was the youngest kid in the gym. Like, I was training around all these 25, 30, 35 plus year olds, and they're like, dude, like, they actually gave me a lot of encouragement because I was at a very good gym. It was actually Renaissance back in Midland. Some people probably still remember Renaissance if they were ever around that area at the time. It was much like our gym today. It was very community-based. There was a lot of encouragement. It was a vibe. You got to meet, obviously, all these great people that were there every single day, you know, almost like we knew each other's training sessions or what program we're running or what we're doing. And the encouragement, sort of all this fire started that I was just like, encouragement for older people, which you always look up to. We look up to our parents, we look up to our leaders or our elders, kind of gave me the fuel to go, I'm going to push this. Like, I'm going to do something with bodybuilding, you know, or with the fitness industry, because I love it, purely because of the friends and the community that came around it. I think if I was in a different gym or starting at a different gym, and this is where I become very passionate with obviously my brand, is that we want to encourage people to get into the industry, but at a really good gym brand or establishment that they feel comfortable at, because that can literally give you the path of where you're to go next. If you get burnt, if you get, you know, those real bad sales tactics and locked into contracts and, you know, you got to get charged if you don't come and people got to stare at you and all this, you know, all these things that happen in the industry with obviously the gym industry, I wanted to change that and give the opportunity to my members of what I got when I started. And when I started, it was very comfortable. It was very encouraging. And that led me into obviously the future tracks.
Yeah.
From there.
Wow. So I guess, like, you know, coming from getting that sort of experience, you know, nowadays the gyms are just everywhere. You know, they're popping up one by one, but you stay true to your roots in regards to how you want to brand your gym right now. And I think that's so important to think about, because you had such a great experience when you first started. This was 18, when you were 18. So
18,
how many years ago was that?
It's 15 years in this year.
Yeah.
So I'm 33 only last week. After I sort of experienced a bit of time, obviously investing in myself and changing my body and training on my own two feet, I was addicted, you know, like I got into supplements, you know, supplements back then. Yeah. There wasn't, you know, supplement stores on every corner. There wasn't even online stores back then because we hadn't gone through the WWW sort of e-commerce era.
Yeah.
So you had to become resourceful, and you needed to find in the gym who had access to supplements or who knew of good supplements to sort of take, which actually led into my first job. So I was actually working at 18 or 19, sort of the breakover into 19, for one of pretty much the first supplement stores in Perth. I think Muscleworks was around Cannington. I think Chris and Adam still had the Cannington store, or just started the little Cannington store at Good Life there.
Yeah.
And we had a store in Midland, which was Joe Supps back then. So,
Joe Supps?
Yeah. Joe Supps turned into Elite, but yeah, Joe Supps sort of gave me the encouragement into the industry. I built obviously networks, built up a lot of relationships that I still have today, with obviously some of the suppliers and the people that have still stayed in the industry. And from that point, I was even more ingrained, because back then you'd have, you know, like Ultimate Nutrition Board over Marcus Rule, you know, and you get to see all these massive guys, and I'm like, man, I want to do this. Which I did. I put the foot down. I competed in, it would have been a year after. So 2010 was my first show.
Yep.
That was as a junior. 2011 was the second show. 2012 was the third. And then 2013, I sort of called it one and done and pulled the string.
Yeah,
different opportunities came about. So I went really, really hard, and I actually really enjoyed it. The unfortunate side, I don't know if you want to, you know, express in terms of the bodybuilding side, I got in an uncomfortable position that, you know, in a junior, obviously, category, I was looked up to and a big bloke and all this. But going into a novice category and an open class, the unfortunate truth was that you can't come first every single show, which taught me a lot. And I pulled back to invest a bit of time in, obviously, to growth and to make sure that I was ready for, you know, the next criteria or the next category. Went away. Obviously got position at Power Fitness. So Power Fitness just opened, which kind of started my gym journey, I suppose. It actually gave me a lot of opportunity as well. So going back 2013 was my last show. I had a break between 2013 and 2015, roughly. Just because it was all too much. At the time, I was working at a supplement store. I'd finished my PT cert, so I was just starting PT at Anytime in High Wycombe. It was one of the, like, kind of the first 24/7 gyms, or you know, the very first few. I was studying exercise sports science at uni as well, trying to compete. And then I was also working a hospitality job, or just finishing working a hospitality job, just to try keep everything, you know, above and propped up. Because as you know, competing is very expensive. You consume a lot of food. You spend a lot of time in the gym. You take, obviously, all the supplements and everything else. So it just becomes a, you know, a financial burden sometimes. And I took it on the chin. It was all too much. I pulled the pin. Massively. So I got out of the industry at 2013, took a step away. I started up my first business at that point, which was Supps to Ven. Not a lot of people would know that I had this business, but my staff actually...
Even I didn't know.
A lot of staff questioned me the other day in regards to our vending machine, and it gives me a bit of shiver nightmare because it just reminds me of the business that I had. But I had this business that was in most Anytime gyms. So I had only 10 sites in Perth that were all vending machines, obviously with supplements, with RTDs, with bars and drinks and everything else. It was really good. It kept me kind of connected. But I actually got a job as a full-time sales rep for selling cars at Ford.
So you just went completely 180 there.
I went 180. And at the time, I really took it against myself as like, man, what am I doing? Like, I've literally like turned my back at something that I love. And through the moment, it was very hard to deal with because, you know, anyone that works in a car yard would understand the hours that they go through.
60-hour weeks.
Yeah, easy. It's crazy. That's minimum, you know? Like, you've got long days on Wednesday. If a client stays back on a Saturday, you're not there till 12. You're there till 1:30, 2 o'clock, trying to get a deal across the line. And you've only got this Sunday, essentially, to spend all your money that you've made, or to spend it time with family and friends. So you can't really invest much time in yourself. So I actually gained a lot of weight, and I went kind of, I won't say backwards, but I lost a lot of, obviously, my physique that I'd built up over the years. And completely got away. I actually sold my business, or sold all the site. I gave a couple sites to the gyms and sold the machines, and sold a couple sited vending machines as well. Yeah. And got completely out. And I honestly thought I'd never be back until one day I was flicking through, I think it was Seek. It was actually at work whilst I was selling cars. And I was looking for jobs for like, you know, FIFO jobs, for like a fitness instructor, or, you know, get back into the industry somehow. And I just needed a break from this 60-hour sharky sales environment, which was actually the best blessing because it taught me so many sales tactics and how to get people on site. Because I don't know if anyone's been in this position, but being 120 kilos and walking around in a car yard and trying to get a sale is one of the hardest things to do because everyone looks at you and going, I do not want to be punched or pushed into a car. Yeah. This guy's gonna force me to sign the bottom line. So I needed to become very good with my body language and how I spoke to these potential clients and how I built up rapport and all these things, which I never got taught. I never got shown. Like, selling sucks was easy. Selling cars was impossible for me. I actually did really well over the 18 months that I was there before I pulled the pin. And I probably could have kept down that road, but you know, we obviously took different direction. So anyways, jumping on the Seek page, looking through for jobs, and you're not meant to obviously at work, but you know, social media had just really started lifting off at this stage. And I sort of just jumped on my Facebook and I was scrolling through and I'm like, oh, there's this gym opening up in Midland. I was like, man, that's my old stomping grounds, you know. I used to have a membership at you know, the Anytime in I think it's Maida Vale there, or Midland. Still had obviously Renaissance going. I was just paying for these memberships. I wasn't going, and I was like, oh, I'm gonna cancel these memberships and I'm gonna like get a membership at this new gym. Like, this is gonna be the new me. Anyway, I had an RDO off at work, at the car yard. Rostered day off, which I didn't get a lot of, but I took one off and I was like, I'm just going to go through, you know, drive through Midland. Anyway, I stopped by because this gym, Power Fitness, was actually like getting built, you know. It was starting up. Their launch was, I think it was around December time, if I'm not mistaken. But anyway, took a drive down Great Eastern Highway there in Midland and I stopped in and, you know, the doors were open and I walked in and I'm like, I actually don't know what I'm doing. Like, I'm just going to like check it out and see. And Andre, the owner, was like laying down gym mats. They were literally just starting. Anyway, I introduced myself. I'd already reached out to Andre. So I got his contact from someone else within the industry or asked, you know, who's obviously opened up this gym. Got in contact with Andre. I said, look, I'm down for a role. You know, if you've got a gym position going, whether that be a manager or a PT or whatever. And the conversation that led after that was pretty funny. But anyway, walked into the gym, introduced myself to Andre, and I said, look, if you guys need any help, I'm willing to help, because I always had this dream, and even at the age of 18, 19, getting in the industry, I'm like, man, I want to own my own gym. Like, when you're so invested in the industry and you're so emotionally passionate about it, I'm like, I want this. So it was always a dream and something there, and I'd always had it in the back pocket. So as much as I turned away from the industry at 2013 and did something different, I always had this thing and this little, you know, monkey on your shoulder, like trying to pull you back into its corner. And I'd had been saving a lot of time, you know, like a lot of money through the time to go, you know, potentially one day. Massive goal, you know, as an 18, 19 year old, especially when you come to the realization of how much gym equipment costs back then, not only now. So I kind of writ it off and I was like, this is going to be impossible. Anyway, I had this conversation with Andre and he probably was looking at me at the time as a, you know, 26, 27 year old going, who is this guy? And I just said, like, if you guys need help, I'm willing to lay mats because one day I want to have my own gym. And he just looked at me and he says, you know, it's all good. Like, we've got everything covered. He goes, you know, come back through. And, you know, if you want to have an interview about a PT job, you know, I'll chat to you. Anyway, went away. He actually invited me back into an interview, which was kind of my biggest blessing. He not formally apologized, but kind of, I think I took him back from that first conversation and introduced myself, which I had to give grace to my sales tactics because I was actually selling myself. This was the first time I actually had to sell myself for a job or for an offer and try to put my, or plant the seed or put myself into the position. He apologized and he said, look, I actually took you the wrong way. You're actually a nice bloke. Like, you know, like all these photos and everything that I've seen on, you know, social media and what you look like, you're actually a really nice person. So he goes, if you want to, you know, start PT, you'll be the first PT here. So I was like, this is awesome. So I handed in my resignation. I got started with obviously Midland Power Fitness. Being the first PT in a brand new gym was one of the best things that I've ever done because I pretty much got booked out within like 4 weeks. Like I had 40 sessions within 4 weeks, you know, all stacked. It was 40 sessions consistently week in, week out. And it got me the drive to chase the journey again or chase, you know, the thing of competing, which kept me very disciplined because, and that's one thing that obviously I'm going through now, it's like, comp doesn't have to mean a first place trophy or getting to a certain weight or getting to a certain body fat percentage. It can be literally setting yourself up just for a goal and a target to keep yourself disciplined and showing to yourself and proving to yourself that you can actually do those things that you set before yourself. Mm-hmm. Because not a lot of people have the time or the money to do all these outside dreams and goals in the present moment.
Yeah.
Much like the same as myself, I didn't have the time and I didn't have the money, especially to open up my own gym. But I learned through disciplining myself, through competing, that if you set to a task, you will eventually accomplish it. And that might take you 2 or 3 or 4 years, but consistently getting better and refining your skills or refining your art, your craft, you eventually get there.
Yeah.
So started that PT role, did really, really well. And about a year and a half in, I was trying to, again, return to stage. So I went through, obviously, that massive growth cycle where you would have seen the Rolly Winkler photo.
Yeah, I remember. It was sick.
Met my partner, Trace, because Trace was actually involved with, obviously, Power Fitness and helping Andre through a bit of promo or marketing. I think that's where you sort of came involved and, you know, we shook hands and had a good conversation there at Midland. I still remember it.
Yep.
And we had a good conversation at the first Christmas party.
Oh, yeah. We had a very deep and meaningful conversation. It was.
Yeah. So
I still remember to this day. Like, I actually just remember it was dark. It was like almost like a date. Yeah. It was just like a random conversation that we just first chatted for the first, like, a good solid conversation just about everything.
Yeah. You know? Because correct me if I'm wrong, but I remember it. We went there and, you know, obviously the gym crowd, it wasn't very connected, obviously, like what culture is. So there's obviously different groups and we just sort of like branched off and we're just like, we're just gas bagging pretty much. I went pretty deep into convo. I wasn't drinking at the time and probably nor were you.
Oh, actually, so, I don't think I was as well. Yeah, it might have been, yeah.
So I was kind of in that, you know, bodybuilder sort of mindset of like, you know, I've got to watch what I eat and watch what I drink. So I'll just, you know, I'll just have a conversation with this guy that I only met probably 3 or 4 months ago. But I think you brought it up at our last Christmas party for culture because obviously you came with Nicole, with your partner. We were at Mandoon and you were like, man, do you remember the conversation we had here like 5, 6 years ago? And I'm like, yeah, I do.
I can't believe like how far you have come like with everything.
But also yourself, you know, like I remember your plan and your plan of attack for obviously your business and getting into the industry, much like myself as well. It's like, yeah, cool. Well, obviously we've got different goals and different things that we have to reach, but it's proven just to that conversation of what you can do in 5 years. And, you know, one thing which I wish I knew at that time was like, man, be patient.
Oh, man.
Go all in and go all in and be good. And I've made that promise to myself now. I'm going a bit off track, but I've made myself that promise now with obviously the brand that we've got and the gym established that we've got. And it's the reason why a lot of members come up like, man, you're doing stuff again. I'm like, yeah, man, because I'm just not happy. Like I need to have it picture perfect or painted perfect, you know, painted perfect picture that needs to exist. I've got that in my head. I don't have it drawn out, but I've got that in my head and I won't stop until I achieve that. And eventually, over time, you'll get that goal, you know, but it's not giving up, which is one thing that I learned. I did give up, so I always kick myself for taking that short straw, but I'm so glad that I did because it's taught me these lessons now moving forward.
I think being patient is such a good way to take away because people want to see that success straight away. They think, oh yeah, it just came 1 year. I admit that we are blessed with, you know, the hardships we got dealt with, you know, with our past, you know, everything we went through led us to this point. And it just didn't happen overnight. Like you think, oh yeah, but you become an overnight success because people presume that, oh yeah, now you're successful. Like it's almost like you went from 0 to 100, like straight away, but it's really not that case. Like, because there's so many things that we developed, whether it wasn't business, whether it was the hard skills, you know, the skills you made in sales or communication or having that experience when you first joined a gym, like that sort of friendly environment, that's what you envisioned. And you were like, I want to own the gym at some point.
100%. And, you know, that goes back to my conversation with Andre at the first, you know, meeting of him when I actually walked in. That actually painted the perfect tile for actually getting involved into the gym industry and what opportunity came out with that, which goes to any sort of listener now that it's like, if you ever have a relationship or a chance to communicate with someone, take it and go all in on that conversation. Don't just, you know, shrug people off as if they're, you know, just people or humans. We're all humans, obviously, in this place that we call Earth. to get something, and every single person has the opportunity of growth. It's not like some special people will get obviously an advancement to the top. It comes from planting seeds and just being a good person, and sorry for the profanity, but doing good shit.
Swear as much as you want on this podcast. It's all right,
but you know what I mean? Like, if you be good and do good, you'll get good. It's just a very simple thing that I live up to and I live, you know, for. So I actually, you know, I went through about a year and a half at Power Fitness there, tried competing or tried growing up to obviously the standard that I needed to be, which I almost got to. I think a few people have seen the photo now circulate around of sort of...
The Rolly Winkler. That's what I had.
With a little iPhone 6 that I was holding up, doing a pose in my bedroom at the time with my parents. I actually stopped there and I pulled the pin purely because I was like, if I keep going down this path, I'm just going to be a PT with not much advancement in my career. And that's not to sort of, you know, shine down or push down onto PTs and say, oh, you know, like a PT is a worthless role, because it's very important in establishing your career and your footprint. I'd gotten to a point where there's potentially even some listeners now that are listening that I was at the max capacity. Like, I couldn't take on any more and I needed something more. It's the willing and wantingness to grow and get better. I didn't have the capabilities back then of a lot of social side. So online PT of obviously your craft wasn't an apparent thing or an abundant thing. There wasn't much flexibility of obviously getting PTs underneath you. I know obviously Shane Smith was one of the first that did do it in Good Life Days. And Shane's obviously done very well with obviously Lift Lab and taken that same sort of business strategy through. But I didn't have the ability to. I didn't know how. I wasn't developed enough. I was still young at that time. Yeah. So I thought, cool, I'm going to go back to supplements. So I reached out to obviously Elite Supps to sort of say, like, I need my chance. I need my spot. We've had our differences over the time, but we've sort of put those away because it only came out about through COVID. But I reached out to Dom from Elite, who obviously is director of Elite Supps, and just sort of put the position to him and said, look, I need something, I want something. If you guys aren't going to do it, then I'm going to go find something else. Found a site in Malaga, and they gave me the chance to open up underneath their umbrella, and I obviously started my first up store, which was then kind of a very good indication to myself that I needed to focus on career and I needed to push really hard to really give myself the ability and chance to do what I want to do and to do what I want to do and what makes me happy and what gives me more passion is to go all in on weights and all in on training. And Jeremy, so sitting on the other side now, has obviously seen me when I get into this mode and strategy, and people just look at me and go, what the hell is happening?
Yeah.
But it gives me this fire, gives me this passion in my belly, and I love it. Like, I could train for hours if I wanted to.
Yeah.
My life becomes almost laser-like or laser-focused, and I'm striving back for that feeling, which I'm this almost close, there. Almost there. So anyway, I went into the career of obviously selling supps. I did that for about 2.5, borderline 3 years at Elite Supps in Malaga. Fortunately, with the blessing in disguise, I actually sold it just before COVID. But I got this, a friendly reach out at, December 2017, and it was from Andre. So Andre reached out to me and said, we need to catch up. Like, we need to have lunch, we need to catch up. Haven't seen you for a while and I got this opportunity for you. Might get emotional. It's actually a real emotional story because it goes to show that if you be true and honest to yourself and you do give people the time and the energy and the effort, you will be rewarded. It always gets that emotional bug out of me.
But it just shows your passion.
It does show that I'm passionate. It's something that I've told this story to numerous people, and I get to different parts of this story, and it just makes me stop and cry for a second, because you look back and you're like, if I didn't do that, this wouldn't have started. And it's an equally matched relationship or a development of relationships through the industry. And I'm so fortunate that I had the balls and courage at that given point where I was sick of my, you know, sales career to stop in that gym. If I didn't do that, this opportunity now that I've got to do something that I'm so passionate about wouldn't have started. So anyway, 2017, December, Andre reaches out and he's like, we need to catch up. So I'm driving out to Midland and I was with my partner Trace at the time, and I'm like, oh, Andre wants to catch up. Maybe for Christmas. I haven't bought him anything for Christmas, you know, like, he's a very generous guy. Yeah, so I'm like, man, I hope he hasn't got me a Christmas present or anything. So we've gone back out to my old stumbling grounds and Midland Power Fitness. And I'm like, okay, like, what's this opportunity? You know, obviously you go through the long drive. I was living in Ellenbrook or Waverley at the time. So I'm going through this drive and I'm trying to think, what is there? You know, like, I've got this store, so I can't turn my back of the store. Like, I've set this up, it's my own business, everything else. You know, I've got my hands full. Anyway, sits me down and he goes, I know you want a gym. Wanneroo Power Pits got to be going to the market or up for sale. But before we do, I'm coming to yourself to see if you're interested. And without like question, I just like, I didn't even think about it. I didn't even think about my answer. I was just like, yes. Like, you know, yes. Like, I'm there, you know?
Yeah.
And it's something that a lot of people need to hear is that, yes, okay, money gets involved and there's all these obviously things that you need to make sure that you've got the ability to be able to do, but have that willingness and I won't stop until I get it, determination, is proof to that pudding that what circulated in that sort of 3 to 4 months leading up to us, actually it was about 6 months, sorry, 6 months until we took over, I pulled out every straw that I possibly could to make the chance of the opportunity. And it gets really uncomfortable through that period. But if it's something in your heart that you want to do and that you are emotional, like myself breaking down a second ago there, if you've got that passion, go for it. Because looking back now, it's the best thing that I ever did.
Yeah.
So anyway, Andre gave me this opportunity. I still worked at the sup store because that was my main source of income. I had cars, I had crypto at the time, or I was invested into crypto. Anything that I could possibly sell that I didn't need, I got rid of. Yep. I lived so basic for the next 6 months. I went home after that conversation, I told Trace that we're buying a gym, and she was like, we're what?
I still remember. Is she listening to this? Hopefully she doesn't listen to this. she'll be like, what?
Me and Trace had already been together for, I think, 3 years at that point. And she was like, all right, like, and I'm so blessed that I've got her as a partner. She gave me the opportunity. She's like, all right, cool. Like, how are we going to do this? You know, like, how are we going to make it happen? I'll work in it. You can work at the store. Like, we'll just make this work.
Yeah.
Which we did. So I went through 6 months of real hard pain. I already had a bit of money saved up. I sold virtually every car that I owned, which was very hard to do. I sold all my crypto out, which, yes, I potentially could have made more money out of if I kept it to this day.
But ignorance is
bliss, and money is not the sole source of happiness either. And I'm so glad that I still did, because it gave me the ability to jump into something that I'm so passionate about that now work doesn't feel like work. It's just my career, it's not my lifestyle. Yeah. So threw everything at it. We got the keys or handover in June 2018. And we sit here today 4.5 years in.
Wow, that is crazy to think about, because it only felt like yesterday that, you know, I saw you guys come into the gym, you and Tracy, and it was just me and Nicole in the gym training, because this was our home gym for a very long time. We haven't left here since we joined, like, at least, I don't know, I think 9 or 10 years since it opened. Before it was Power Fitness, then Power Pit, and then you took over, and I remember you guys coming in, and I was just like, oh, like, are you guys taking over? Like, yeah, we bought the gym. I was like, oh, that's cool. That's like really cool. I was like, there's such great opportunity, but I could imagine the doubts that you might have had that came along with it. Like, but the passion that you have from the very beginning was, I wanted to own a gym. Like, you had this vision, and it was like, I talked to Ryan Fredericks in the last podcast. I don't know if anyone's heard it, but we talked a little about the North Star. Like, your North Star was when you joined the gym, you had the best experience, and then you decided that that's what you want to do, and you want to give people that same sort of experience you had when you first joined the gym.
100%. And going back to that story of when I first started in the fitness industry, or started training in a gym, I wanted to bring that back, because I felt like through the, I suppose, translation or transfer of going from brick and mortar gyms, and I call brick and mortar gyms like the 9-to-5 gym that they actually closed on a Sunday. They used to announce with the microphone, you know, the gym's closing in 15 minutes.
Oh.
To that 24/7 model. The 24/7 model almost opened up like an e-commerce can of worms with the fitness industry. And it tarnished a lot of what was good about brick and mortar gyms. The personal factor. Like, there was no staff in a lot of these 24/7 gyms when they first started. True. Like, you sign up and you never saw the manager. You never saw a PT. You never saw anyone besides gym equipment and all these other people that signed up for the same reason. But it didn't create any sort of vibe or any sort of culture or any sort of community. So I was like, man, we need to bring this back. Yeah, okay, we need to be 24/7, obviously be relative to the market.
Yeah.
But we need to have staff. We need to have a community. And me and Trace starting, I remember the days in the early days, and again, this is tough to talk about, but because it was bloody hard work, but we were living in Averley, and just to put a geographic sort of positioning for everyone, we lived in Averley. I had a store in Malaga. We had a gym in Wanneroo. Now, I was leaving to go to my store to get in front of bookwork, paperwork, ordering, all that at probably about 7:30 a.m. Right?
Yeah.
Nothing crazy. People are like, oh yeah, cool, I go to work earlier. I used to stay or get to work at about 8 o'clock by the time, obviously, traffic. Between 8 till 9:30, where I used to open the doors, obviously do all that work, open my doors, serve customers, run obviously that business from 9:30 till 5:30 in the evening. 5:30 in the evening, I'll leave that store, I'll drive all the way to Wanneroo, which was about a half an hour commute, obviously through peak hour traffic. Arrive to the gym at 6 o'clock, purely to just handshake, talk to people, and make sure that the gym was going okay, and show people that passion and care. We would work right up till 7 o'clock, where we actually were staffed up to. We'll shut our front doors. Obviously, the gym will still be operating, and I'll get involved into, you know, there's photos of me circulating around on my own socials, but people have probably seen them, and you know, you probably saw me as well if you're training at the time. I would literally get out, you know, the painting gear and start painting the gym.
Yeah.
So we literally worked from the front to the back to the front. And I was working from, you know, 7 o'clock right up until 11, 12 o'clock at night, most nights. I've even got some 1 a.m. and 2 a.m. photos in here, changing and doing what we could. We didn't have the money to be able to do what a lot of big corporates do and start these fantastic, beautiful gyms. And they are great, don't get me wrong, but we didn't have that ability. We just sunk all of our assets into purchasing my ultimate dream. And we were a rock in a hard place that we had virtually nothing, even to survive. We were struggling at that point. It was a sinking ship and we needed to bring it back up. The only way we could was through passion. And what do you do through passion? You do everything that you're able to. So if it's to learn how to paint a wall, you learn how to paint a wall. We did that for about a year. Not to go into financials, but that year I virtually earned nothing. I survived off very, very basics and very, very limited. And I got to the point just before COVID 2020 that I actually had to sell out of my sup store, and it was purely to prop up and make sure that the gym survived. And I'm so blessed again that I did that at the perfect time and opportunity, because obviously then COVID 2020 hit.
Yeah.
And we were closed for 12 weeks with no obviously members circulating in our gym, and huge overheads and huge commitments that we'd had already laid down. So it kind of felt like a kick in the gut to do something that you, to do something, again, getting very emotional about it, to do something that you're really, really passionate about and you've gotten your dream, and again, someone wants to push you down to the last place, which, going back to my story at the start of obviously competing and then not getting that first place, it's a real hard thing to deal with. But I think I've accomplished those fears now and really pushed through, not only on personal but also business, to be able to conquer anything that sort of comes ahead now in a lot different shoes, and I've become a lot more adaptive with the way that we do things to make sure that we'll never really go through those uncomfortable waters again.
And I think you definitely have the right passion, and your journey itself, it's like a, I don't think a lot of people hear this journey a lot, you know, like this is like a all or nothing. So thank you honestly for sharing that. It means the world. Like I see you like almost break down and I'm just like, I'm almost feeling it. I'm trying to hold it together. You know, like, yeah, it's fine, man. Like you can do this. Cause I think I personally can feel your pain. Like I can really sense that, like you went all in and you went and did what you were passionate about. And you know, that is so important that people need to take away that when you have this vision, when you're lucky enough, like let's be real, when you're lucky enough to find your passion or something that you want to achieve, do your utmost to make sure that you can get there. And don't doubt yourself. Like you're going to doubt yourself unrealistic amounts. And I'm sure you did. Luckily you have Trace.
I honestly, Jeremy, yeah. I still doubt myself.
Even now.
And yeah. Doubt is a wonderful thing once you become comfortable with it, because doubt creates this fire, and this fire to almost extinguish or put it out, or put the doubt out, right?
Yeah.
Anytime I feel doubt, I just get better.
Yeah.
I make sure that I become so adaptive and diverse, either my own personal skills, my staff skills, the establishment. Obviously, we just went through obviously a massive rebrand and relaunch with all our Panada gear and being obviously a Panada facility in Perth. But you go in with this all-in mentality. Once you get to that point and you are so passionate, there's no turning back.
Yeah.
It's a pretty... technical journey, obviously listening to it, and for obviously listeners out there that are listening, it's obviously a hard thing to track and put the pieces together and really to get into my shoes or to feel obviously what Jeremy's felt from hearing this story today. But the number one thing is that passion pays, and passion eventually gets you to that peak of the mountain that everyone's like, oh, you got there overnight success.
Just that doesn't sound close to
keep
that. Yeah.
So passionate and so honest to yourself. And it's very hard, obviously, with the world that we live in, with obviously social and, you know, all these things going on around us, you know, materialistic things that get posted up and pushed around, and you need to be this, you need to be that.
There's expectations.
Expectations. It's just like, keep humble to yourself and keep humble to what you want to do. If you want to, I don't know, if you want to start your own gym, start your own gym. Start small and constantly work at that until you've got the perfect picture.
And I think what people really need to see, like the deep, it's like spread positivity. Like I think, you know, we live in a world with COVID, the, you know, Russia and, you know, all the stuff that has been happening. I know there's been like missiles launched, a whole lot. So there's a lot of negativity out there that if you can make someone's day a little bit better, it will make you feel great as well. Like just having that random conversation, putting some effort into the conversations you have with the people around you and having an impact on them to help them, you know, just support them, you know, support them and help them become better.
100%. And, you know, like, yes, you know, having more members and having a bigger gym and having more growth is all good, because it obviously extends your cash flow and your ability to be able to achieve more and do bigger things, right? But exactly what you've just said is, when you are passionate and when you can fix or change someone's life, it's one of the best things that you can possibly ever do.
Yeah. So if you're lucky enough to find something along those lines, go for it. Because like, it's not all about making money. Like people think, oh, it's just a money thing. If you get driven by money, you're not going to succeed the way you want to succeed, or whatever you just deem as success.
Money is a hard thing that a lot of people struggle to talk about, and it is the root of all evil when you really just look at it as a soul object, but it is also the object of a reward or a return to hard work and passion.
Correct.
And if you don't focus on it and it's just there, it will eventually come. And that's where being a little bit more patient, which I wish I taught myself when I was younger, being patient and really becoming the artist of your craft will eventually pay. Trying to rush a drawing and trying to get it done before, you know, the end of day doesn't pay the bill. It will get you by week to week and you'll be comfortable. That's great. But it won't really open up this world of success in, you know, 5 or 10 years time. And I've learned that over the last 5 years of obviously starting that journey of owning a gym to now.
So just getting onto that topic. So now we can talk about being the... So Chris has decided to make his gym one of the first exclusive gyms in Perth.
Yeah.
So I guess like with our whole discussion, I think it seems only natural the reason why you did make it exclusive. I think, you know, if you listen to everything up until now, all the listeners, then you would definitely understand why he decided to do it. So do you want to go briefly about
it? Yeah, look, the real idea behind going exclusive is not to be like, oh, look at us and you need to be an important person to train here. You don't. I want anyone to be able to come into our establishment, right? Up until that point, we've got 30-something memberships still available right up until that point where we're literally capped. And unless someone cancels because they're moving or, you know, need a change of scene and all this, they go, that spot becomes open, and the next person obviously takes a ticket and takes that place. The reason why we have is purely on the service factor. And it comes both on a service on gym equipment and gym facility, but then also on the personal factor. How are we able, if we doubled our membership base, able to actually properly service those people, to fix them, to change them, to give them value for obviously what they're paying for? And that was my approach, was just like, I want people to feel like they are important, that they're not just a number, that they've got an identity and they've got a place of belonging. Because as I sort of mentioned with my journey with starting, I felt a part of a gym, I felt a part of a gym community, and that gave me the opportunity for my success through my career. If I can do that with the audience or the membership base that we've got, I'll feel really, really great. And I've seen that. I've connected people, you know, resourceful wise, whether it's looking for a plumber, a finance broker, electrician, you know, all these. A lot of people obviously see some of the content that we produce, and I gave obviously Josh the opportunity through our gym to create content. He's created that content, his career's gone up. I hooked him up last week with my finance broker that was DJing for Fat Man Scoop. Now they're all together. Like, it's all this growth, and it's just like, well, where did that come from? That came from a gym, and that came from a gym that actually cares about me as a person and knows me as a person, what they do and how you can connect these two dots. I don't think there's a lot of places in Perth, unfortunately, like that.
Yeah, and I think that could just be because of the rapid growth, you know, like the fitness industry has grown tremendously, like in the last 15 years, if you want to put it, even the last 5 years, it just keeps growing, and opportunity to be in the fitness industry is there. And I think that's where, you know, the ideas like, you know, all these courses, especially PTs, a lot of courses out there that will sell courses to people, be like, work for yourself, do this, but then they lose the passion, the initial feeling that they should be feeling when they start PT. Like, they should be going into it trying to help every individual, like how a gym was, like, you know, 15 years ago they had something right.
Yeah, 100%.
But the industry has now gone to a point because you're like, okay, now how do we scale? Like, let's start scaling.
Yeah, without, you know, like scaling's great, scaling with some sort of criteria. Yeah. Is even better, you know, like I would love to scale our brand, and we've got plans to obviously scale our brand, but I won't until this establishment is A, it's full, and B, we have actually serviced every single one of those members to the best of our ability. So yeah, if we needed to add on additional services, which we are looking at already, we will do that. And we'll continue to do that to a point where it's almost the cup is full and it's 100%. At that point, we can then scale through the market and open up additional sites with that same criteria in place. Because then you build it a part of your branding. I hear, and not to name any gyms, but you hear a lot of obviously people that go to these other gyms, and it's not everyone, but it is quite a few, They go there, it's peak hour, they can't train, there's not enough equipment, it's too busy, it's this, that, the other. So essentially, how are you helping these people besides stacking them into a room and charging them a fee every week? They're not actually getting anything because nothing's actually flowing. When things are flowing, people can chat, they can communicate, they can still train, they can have a good time, things flow.
Yeah, 100%. And I think Chris is, he ambition in this gym is honestly like, you know, everyone is looked after. I'm talking like, you know, the obviously the members looked after great. Staff members, even better. Like all the same, same as PTs. Like he's not hiring PTs with the hopes of, hey, like we're going to just take on like 20, 10 or 15 new PTs. We're going to make sure all the PTs are doing well. And I think that is so important that people, I hope, see, or if they don't see, now they're going to know that Chris is definitely not someone who is going to just scale it to that point that like, oh yeah, hey, we're going to take on all those people. But it's also that idea that, yes, your gym could have, for example, 4,000 members, but if you only have 500 attending compared to something that has maybe 2,000 members, but then you have like 1,000 people attending, then you're doing something good for the community.
So I'll stop. I won't stop you there, but I'll just butt in there. And I'll be a little bit open, which I wasn't going to be, but I'll be a little bit open with our facts and figures, right? I don't regularly check our, you know, potential ghost members or people that don't show. But every time that I do, I'm like, I don't need to check this again. I can actually see it because I'm here most of the time. I can gauge of the audience and the people that I see and, you know, how full the gym is for the, obviously the membership base we've got. Our gym sits at 93% of active members.
If you come to culture, you know how busy it is, guys. It gets busy.
When you put it in perspective,
that's
right?
Crazy,
so if you
good.
Have,
yes.
Hypothetically, I'm not saying our membership base is there, but hypothetically, if you say you have, you know, 1,000 members, it's only 70 members that aren't showing.
That is, that's
most gyms in the industry, and just put a blanket hold on the whole industry. Most gyms are sort of sitting at that 60% at an average, at best, actual usage rate. So they've got 40% of ghost members. Now, how I feel is that 40% ghost members, I can't actively breed off these members. And what I mean by that, I don't want them to start families and bring their families here, but I can't invest into them. If I don't see a ghost member, I can't fix them, I can't help them. If I've got a capped membership base here with a capped audience that all come, and that's obviously our plan, is to get an engaged audience and get an engaged member base, I can then help these people grow through obviously providing them with a facility, providing them with resources through the community or through the culture. And with that, our reward is our brand grows. So it's a transfer and it's a meeting of halfway. You can never be in this take mentality, it's a take give mentality. I give a little bit and I take a little bit. It's a very healthy thing where I think a lot of, unfortunately, a lot of people that have entered the industry have this take mentality and they don't actually give back.
Yeah, and I think the giving back part, you are very generous. Like, you know, you have constantly each year is doing something new. I've been here since the beginning, so I've seen it. Like, you know, from when you used to just paint the bathrooms, do a few things here and there, like the best you can honestly do at the time. And the amount of scale you have in regards to like the equipment, you know, like the equipment, you have taken it to the next level. Having Panada equipment, which is honestly the best equipment. I've been around the world. You know, I've been to like Orlando, Pennsylvania, like, you know, a lot of different areas around Singapore, like the whole, like Japan even, like, and I've seen equipment and Panada honestly is one of the best freaking equipment out there. And I'm not trying to promote the gym or anything, but
it's one of the reasons why Remy just got sponsored by Panada only last week. So it's the reason. They're the industry leader and they want to be the best. It's the same as obviously, you know, a rainy Mr. O. To be the best, you need to be in the best facility. You need to be around the best people as well. It's not just about the facility, it's about the services. And it's about the people that actually exist within that facility.
And you're now also going to think about expanding soon again a little bit more to put more equipment in. But I think you have developed so much in this time. Like it's only been 4.5 years. Like I can't believe it's been 4.5 years.
With that, and I look back at that, it's like, you know, we went through some of the hardest and rockiest stages, you know, like we started the business, so we took over the business at the point where it was hemorrhaging and literally going down like a sinking ship, to a point where, you know, I was robbing Peter to pay Paul, essentially. Or, you know, I was taking money out of one business to prop up another business, up until the point where I mentioned before, you know, we had to sell that other business to survive with the ultimate goal or dream. And then COVID hit. And then COVID kept on reoccurring and shutdowns and, you know, forced mandates and this, that, the other. So through all of that hardship, which everyone got, and not to use that as like, oh, look at us, you just keep pushing on, and keep pushing on eventually gets you on the other side. And it gets you into, fortunately, the position that I'm in now, where I've got this ability to now grow this brand and also take a little bit of water out of my cup to give it to myself.
Yeah,
to focus on what I want to do. And you know, looking back as a childhood memory, or, you know, back into your 18s to early 20s, two reasons why I wanted to open up a gym: to provide literally the opportunity and chances that I got given as a gym member when I first started, and to create that culture and that community and that vibe. But then if I got into the successful position, man, my lifestyle is going to be so good. I'm going to be able to train every single day.
Yeah,
and I'm nearly there after forgiving 4.5 years of my training. So it's a really good feeling.
That is amazing. And you set yourself up well. Like, you're setting yourself up to a point where you can now start filling your own cup. And I think sometimes you've got to pour out of your cup for a long period of time. And, you know, it is that unhealthy balance that people don't see it as a business owner, entrepreneur, whatever you're trying to do. I think a lot of times people don't see that. They're like, you know, when I talk to someone who's also a business owner, I can really empathize and feel your pain. That it's just like, shit, you might have a lot of doubt. Like, I just feel like there's this sort of connection that people don't see. They're like, oh, you're busy. That must be good. That's like really good, isn't it? Like, you're earning a shit ton of money. And I'm like, well, no, like, it comes with a lot of responsibility, and there's more to it than just, oh yeah, just like earn a bunch of money and that's it, you know?
Yeah.
Because we care about what we do, and we do something very similar. I run a coaching business, you run a gym. Your goal is to help every individual, you know, reach their full potential, whether, you know, it be inside or outside the gym, you know, obviously inside the gym in your case, but it's also supporting them outside, like if they needed that.
Yeah.
And I think that is so important, you know? But one thing to really think about your whole journey is that you did everything, whether it was in a car yard, whether it was, you know, when you were running a sub store, you gave it your all. You know, like, you were trying to sell cars, but you were good at selling cars, but you worked hard at it. And I think a lot of times, remember how you do one thing is how you do everything, you know? So if you are going to, like, for example, like, be a kitchen hand, like, I was a kitchen hand at Nando's. I was a manager at Nando's, I worked at Nando's, but that taught me so much.
100%. And, you know, this is a message that I kind of steal off, you know, Andy Fisella, because it's a story that sort of he tells. But it's by being good, it gets you good shit. Again, going back to that sort of analogy, be good and do good gets you a good result. Being the best and doing good gets you to places that you want to go. If you're lazy, you build up that lazy mentality. If you do 80%, and hey, the people around you don't know if you've done 80%, but when you go home and you look at yourself in the mirror and you think about it and you know that you've done 80%, you'll struggle. You'll push yourself and you'll probably stay at that 80% for the whole time. And it's the same with the prep, and a lot of people go through this, and it's one of the hardest things to face, because you would know after obviously a contest prep whether you gave it your 100% or if you didn't. And if you didn't, you'll probably try it again. And you'll try to scale that from 90% to 92% to 95% until you reach that big dream. And it could ultimately mean getting your pro card or getting a first place trophy, or, you know, traveling the world and getting first place in 5 different countries or whatever it is. That goal is great because it disciplines you to get yourself organized and into that position to make sure that you always do your very best.
Yeah.
If you don't, you've only got yourself to blame for. So if you're not giving it your all, like the gym, if you're not training your hardest, you're not going to get the best results or most results. If you're cheating on your diet, you can't kid anyone besides yourself. You can't blame your coach. You can't blame the other person side by side to you. You can only blame yourself. And that sounds very aggressive and very targeted, but when you spread that across the whole your whole lifespan or your whole span of your lifestyle, if you do very well and you take passion, you take care, and you do the best that you could possibly do in that moment, you'll get good stuff out of it. And I take that mentality with, like, obviously people would obviously follow me from your listeners, and they probably see it. I spend a lot of money on my cars. And I'm going back to motorsport next year. It's one of, again, the gifts that I'm giving to myself, because the sacrifices that I've had to make over the last, you know, 5-6 years to ultimately get in this position. But I'm giving that car everything of the best that I can possibly afford, because I want the best possible result. And it will feel good because the result will look good on paper at a time. If you don't, you've only got yourself to blame for.
And I think a lot of people need to learn how to be the blame takers. They need to, you know, like sometimes it's not within your control, but you can, you only can control in the controllables, right? Like you can't really, like out, what happens outside can't really affect if you can control, if you can control it. If you can't control it, then, you know, when COVID happened, you couldn't control, you only can control what you can do.
Yeah, right? 100%. And I, you know, one thing, and I remember the conversation that I had with Trace at the early days, because it was a hard, you know, thing to talk about, obviously taking over a gym and how we're going to do it. And, you know, are we going to be able to afford it? And what's time, you know, what time is it going to take out of a relationship and all this? And one thing that I remember saying was like, if things fail, I'll take the blame. But having that truth and honesty to yourself and ownership and owning the bad times as well as the good times is a thing that I think doesn't get spoken about enough. So many people want to hide their bad mistakes. Own them. Tell people that you've made a mistake. Shake their hand and say sorry and say, I stuffed up and I offended you. Or I stuffed up and I didn't show up for that appointment or that consultation or meeting or check-in or whatever it is. Own it and have the chance to rectify it and show them your best. Don't just try to pretend that those bad mistakes don't exist and you're all good, because we're not. I still make mistakes today and I own up to every single one of them.
Wow. I was going to say we need that one piece of advice, but it sounds like you've given me like a whole bunch of there. So I love hidden gems, and that last piece was just amazing. So I hope everyone is listening to this. We'll take home, re-listen to this podcast because it's unreal. I have to go back and listen to it. I usually do that with a lot of my podcasts as we're editing it. I always go back and listen to it, and I love to learn from it. So I hope the listeners did find some value from this podcast. But Chris, we're probably going to have to finish up. It's an hour long now. So we had a good discussion. Hopefully we can have another one in the future, potentially in your potential podcast studio.
Yes. Nah. One thing that I'll lead off or finish off with, and I thank Jeremy for the opportunity for obviously coming on that. Make sure, and this goes to every single listener, when you identify a leader, and I'm not putting myself on a hierarchy there, but obviously Jeremy and obviously his team, that obviously what they provide, a lot of people that obviously Jeremy's reached out to with obviously his podcast, you know, Dan and all the others that you've obviously got on board. When you see a leader, reach out to a leader. And that doesn't mean that you need to take up all these services, because we're obviously in this game together and we're in this industry together to provide obviously similar things or sometimes very different things, but obviously we're in this industry to provide. Make sure you ask. Make sure if you want to know how to do something, ask a leader. Ask and take the opportunity to discover, because it's something that I took on board walking into that gym 7.5 years ago or 7 years ago,
yeah,
and asking the question if I could help, because I want to learn. Showing that will open up further opportunity down the track. It doesn't have to be instant, and it doesn't have to have an instant ROI, and you don't essentially have to pay that person for services. You can just ask questions at any time. When you see a leader and you feel it's a leader, ask them for direction, because that's what will make this whole industry grow.
Yes, and we need to grow as an industry. Thank you, Chris. That was unreal. I really enjoyed this podcast. So where can everyone find you?
Between Monday to Friday. You can follow me obviously on my own personal socials, which I've just changed to Chris Culture 247. And if you want to follow obviously the gym, Culture Fitness 247, we're located in Wanneroo, 637 Wanneroo Road, Wanneroo. You can't miss it. Big yellow building.
Yeah.
If you haven't been here, come down for a free session. First session's free. 32 memberships still remaining.
My goodness.
Get your spot. Be a part of the culture. See what we're about. And come meet me in person.
Yeah, and if no, seriously, 32 memberships is low. So you better, if you come in, you better sign
up. To put it quite frankly, and we did have the goal to get to this point, and I'm actually freaking out that we are almost honing in onto the zero, is by the end of this year, we really wanted to have it capped. And I thought that was going to be stupid, because we had about 160 memberships when we came up with this idea. Yeah. Only about 6 weeks ago that we announced it, when we got all our Panada gear, but we will pretty much be capped by the end of the year.
Yep,
but just to let everyone know, we're not done. we are continuing to grow. Our facility is going to grow here, and we've got obviously future sites planned. So keep in tune, stay in tune with myself, and hopefully Jeremy shows a bit of our growth as well, and we'll show you our journey.
Oh, this is super exciting things to come. So if you found some value from this podcast, please share it on your stories. Make sure to tag us. Give Culture 24/7 and Chris Culture 24/7 a follow on Instagram. And if you do have any questions, even to Chris, feel free to reach out to him. Send him a message and I'm sure he'll get back to you. Can even show you around the gym with his staff members here. Come do a free session. Panada equipment is honestly the best. Myself and Nicole have been here for a long time. We travel the world. We know the best equipment when we know it, hence why we're still here. So if you did find any value, share this with friends and share on your stories. Thanks, guys. Thank you.